Well, hey everybody, welcome back to Escape to the Magic Podcast. We are your hosts. My name is Ryan.
And I am Dak.
And on this week's episode, we are talking about, is it worth the wait? Right?
Is it worth the wait?
Talking about Disney World and or Disneyland attractions. We're going to throw shows in there or no? Or just doing attractions?
Anything. Food, shows, attractions.
Is it worth the wait? So, now, hey, before we get going, we gotta announce this. Hurricane Beryl. So we have said it a few times on the podcast. We live in Houston, and it is Hurricane Beryl plus two, right?
Yeah.
I'm still without power.
Yeah, it's been a weird week. This storm kind of hit Houston a little bit harder than what was probably anticipated. That's why our co-host Randy is out. As he's mentioned on the show before, he works for the city. He holds a pretty prominent role there as far as helping with cleanup and disaster recovery and all of those things. And so he's tied up tonight. We had a little bit of extra free time. I guess that's the byproduct of a hurricane as well, is that you do have a little bit more free time because work and things are just not functioning properly. So anyways, long story short, Randy's out tonight. We wish him well. Hope he's able to get some sleep and get back home to his family. But we are going to take advantage and get a show in for you guys.
Yeah. No. So actually, by the time this episode is released, hopefully it'll be... everything will be back to normal.
Yeah.
So
that's the goal.
But yeah, for those of you who have never had extended periods without air conditioning, it is brutal. And I say it every time. This is like our third or fourth hurricane. I'm like, you know, we just need to invest in one of those Generac home generators and just bite the bullet and do it. And we never do it. And here I am 2 days into this thing, have no AC.
Sweating.
But it is nice to be at your house that has AC, but no internet. I have internet in my house, but no AC. Dak has internet, but no. Dak has AC, but no internet.
Yeah.
So we chose to record in the place that has air conditioning.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So yeah. So worth the wait. So let's just kind of go through some of these through these attractions and see. You know, maybe try to look at them from an objective point of view. That might be difficult because we do have so much experience and history with some of these attractions that it might be hard to look at them objectively. But I think for those that maybe haven't been to Disney just yet and you're going to be going for the first time sometime in the next year or so, and you want to know, hey, is Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, is it worth the 75-minute wait that's going to be posted? That's a great question. I think that's kind of just a common thing to ask yourself. Am I going to spend 1/10 of my day waiting for this one ride? Right.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of one of those things where it's a little bit spur of the moment as you're going through the parks. So to kind of walk you through a process of going to the parks, right. And you are experiencing different shows or different attractions, even different restaurants you may have to wait for. And the question always comes up, do you want to do it? Do you want to wait, you know, 75 minutes for this particular ride or this particular show? And so that becomes the question that we want to throw out there. And like Ryan said, we've been several times to the parks, so we're a little bit spoiled, probably a lot bit spoiled.
Very much spoiled.
In the sense that we can, you know, there's always that thought process in the back of your mind. Well, you know, I've experienced this before, so I get a little snobbish, if you will, Disney snobbish, and say, well, I'm not going to wait for it if it's that long. So we're going to try and take a step back and give an objective point of view to see if any particular attraction or show or event is worth the wait. Okay. How long would you wait for it? And so let's just jump into it. I liked your first example. So we're just going to throw out random wait times. These are not official wait times that are happening right now live in the parks. It's just, you know, kind of we're trying to find that edge, right? Of like, that's my tipping point. I'm not waiting longer than this, or I'm not going to, you know, hang out waiting for a parade to start longer than this. And so let's go. So Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, I think on average, it's probably going to be anywhere between 45 to...
Oh, I think that's on the, low end.
On the low end to easily 60, 75. I've even seen it touch 90 minutes. So I liked your example of 75 minutes for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
So is 75 minutes, is it worth it for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, in your opinion?
Boy, that's a tough one. I typically...
Because the ride itself is only about 65, 70 seconds. It's not,
it's pretty quick.
It's pretty quick.
Boy, I don't know. I think the tough thing here is, what are my other choices? But if we're trying to do this in a vacuum, where we're not taking into consideration, well, I could walk over to Small World and hop on it because it's a 5-minute wait, right? So for me, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, anything over 60 minutes, I'm probably going to pass on.
65 minutes?
I see what you're doing.
You see what I'm doing here?
Yeah. Yeah, I could probably be coerced into, if we were with a group, but if you're just saying I'm walking up by myself, I'm on a solo trip, and it says 65 minutes, I'm probably going to keep walking.
Okay. Yeah. I would say, too, from an objective point of view, 65 minutes is a good amount of time to wait. I would do it. I probably would do 70 minutes if I'm with a group, because that queue is pretty fun. There are some fun things to do in the queue. You can get all those little spinny things to line up, and you create the image on the ceiling, which is kind of fun. Yeah, I think anything above 70 minutes, I will probably think twice. So,
yeah, I would agree.
Okay. All right. What about Living with the Land?
He's just pulling that one out of your hat. I mean,
would you wait 25 minutes for that ride? Again, you can't think of any other attraction. We're just looking at Living with the Land. Would you wait 25 minutes?
Probably not. To me, that's a 15 and under. So okay. My over under, maybe that's the way we should kind of do this. My over under, I would set at 15 minutes for Living with the Land. It's a boat ride. It's an educational ride. It's not like I'm, you know, getting any sort of thrill or excitement out of it other than I like learning about plants, but
yeah, I'm surprised because this is kind of up your wheelhouse.
This is
like your wheelhouse.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, to me, that's my over under. I'm going to set at 15 on that.
Okay. I would do 25. Wow. I would. Wow. I think it's a fun attraction.
Yeah.
You learn a lot. It's a good, 8 to 10 minutes long.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a decent length. So
yeah.
I think you get your money's worth. So
for sure.
I'd do 25 minutes.
Okay.
I probably wouldn't do 45 minutes, but 25 to 30, sure, I'd do it.
So what? Okay. So I'll throw one out there.
Okay.
I know you're not a parade guy. So what would be your over under on sitting down and waiting for a parade to come through?
Which parade?
The Festival of Fantasy.
5 minutes.
Really?
At this point, my girls are older than... Okay, let's go back 10 years. And, back when my girls were younger and they really were into... Not that they're not into the princesses now, but let's be honest, girls as they grow up...
Sure.
You know, back in the day when they were younger, and if they really wanted to see the parade, I would stake out a spot 30 to 45 minutes ahead of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would do it.
Yeah. I would do a 30 minute wait for a parade. Okay. For a Festival of Fantasy. The holiday parades. So you're at your actual Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party and your Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, I think is what it's called. I believe so. Those you have to, and those are great parades.
No, they are.
But you have to camp out if you're going to get a good viewing spot. Otherwise, you're 2-3 rows deep and you're trying to poke your head over and try and look over the crowd in front of you.
Okay, so let's say they bring back the Main Street Electrical Parade.
Ooh.
I would probably wait. Ooh, that is such a good parade.
Yeah.
I would do probably 45 minutes.
Whoa.
I would do 45 minutes for that. Wow. Yeah, you wouldn't?
No. I would put that right in line with the Festival of Fantasy. So for me, that's a 30-minute wait.
Okay.
Yeah. But I mean, in all honesty, on a day-to-day basis, you know, not putting it in a vacuum like we're trying to do here, most of the time I'm catching the parade if I happen to be walking through and the parade starts. And it's like, you see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I'm not sitting and waiting for the parades.
No.
But again, I think that has to do with exactly what you said, you know, time and season of the ages of our girls, and they just are more interested in going and finding the next ride.
Yeah. So I think what we're saying here is that if you have young kids that are into that stuff right now, then yeah, you probably should stake out a spot 30 for to sure. 45 minutes ahead
yeah.
of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, dude, let's just go for the big gun right now. Happily Ever After.
I've waited an hour for Happily Ever After to get the seats that I want and the spot in the.
And I guess this is a little different because it's not a ride that is ongoing throughout the day. This is a one-time event at 8 or 9 o'clock in the evening. And I think you're right. I think the most I've ever waited is an hour. Like, waiting is the wrong. I guess waiting is the wrong word. It's how early are you going to get to the spot that you want?
Sure.
So typically it's about an hour. If you really want, if you have a special spot that's your spot that you know you're going to have a great view, but you need to get there an hour before, that sounds about right.
Yeah. And we've kind of talked about this before. You know, people will stake out. And I think that that's where this goes back to our, what did we call it? The most annoying things people do. Or,
oh, yeah.
I can't remember.
Our pet peeves.
That was it. Our pet peeves is like, if you're that person that's waited there for an hour and then someone comes and like nudges their way in, that's
a pet peeve.
Yeah, that's a pet peeve. So, but yeah, I would say again, I would agree with you. Waiting an hour for Happily Ever After is totally worth it for me to get the seat and the location that I want, especially back in the day when they would let you sit in the grass area on the hub.
Would you wait 2 hours?
No, probably not, just because I don't think it's needed.
That wasn't the question.
But
the question is, would you wait 2 hours to see Happily Ever After?
Boy, that... Yes, I would. If it was required. If it was required, which it's not, in my opinion... I would wait 2 hours, but that would probably be my, I don't know, because for me, Happily Ever After is one of those, if it's showing, I'm not missing it.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
And so to me, if I don't get to see Happily Ever After, like if weather stopped the show from going on or some other, you know, unforeseen circumstance that would stop the show from happening, and on our Disney trip, I would be devastated. I know that sounds very dramatic, but that is the absolute can't miss. That'd be a great show. What are your can't miss items at Disney? We'll have to do that
on our guys trip in January. So we got to watch it two nights in a row. And that first night it was overcast.
Yes.
And the lasers were bouncing off the clouds and the fireworks were behind the clouds. It wasn't a good night to watch.
No.
But the next night was pristine.
Yeah. So yeah, I would say 2 hours. I would wait 2 hours for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Is it my turn? No, it's your turn.
Yeah. What about, so let's get some of the big rides in there. So, Flight of Passage. Let's go Flight of Passage. Oh, I would say on average, it's a good 45 to 75 minutes.
Well, if Everest is down, it's 2 hours.
Okay. Let's, again, in a vacuum, what is your over under wait time for Flight of Passage?
So this is a great question because I have waited for this attraction upwards of 3 hours, but not by choice.
Correct.
So
likewise, yeah.
Like from a physical standpoint, a mentally standpoint, emotionally, I know I can wait 3 hours. Would I choose to wait 3 hours? Absolutely not. If I walked up there and I see a 180 minute wait, I am turning around and walking away. There's a difference between once you're already, I think that is one of the few attractions that once you are already in line, you're committed.
Oh yeah.
Like, oh, that the sign said 90 minutes. Let's do it. I'm in there. Oh, it's 90. It's 100. It's 120. It's 160. That seems to happen more often than not with that attraction. You just kind of take it.
Yeah.
You just accept that that's how it's going to be. But to answer your question, if I stroll up and I see 120 minutes, I'm turning around. If I see 90 minutes, I'm debating at 90 minutes with Flight of Passage. It's such a fun attraction. It's such a very cool attraction. 90 minutes is probably my threshold.
Yeah, I was going to say 75 is my over under. At 75, over 75 minutes, I'm really contemplating it. Could probably be talked into it, but that's, you know, 90, like you said, would be my absolute max on that particular attraction. But you're right. That's a good call. Like, that is one of those attractions that once you get inside the caves and you're winding back and forth in that, you almost feel locked in. Like, there's no escape.
You are locked in. They had to put bathrooms in there.
Yeah.
Because you're so locked in.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, and what's funny is, like, it can stop and hold you at bay at any point. I mean, we've been in the, what do you call that? The science room or whatever, where they're doing all the different testing and they have the animatronic in there of the Avatar guy. I've been in that room for so long and just wanted to bail. And it just seems like you've
committed so much time already.
Yeah. And you know, the next turn is into the ramp up to the ride. And so you just keep waiting and keep waiting and keep, that's a tough one to leave. That's a tough ride to.
Yeah, they really designed that well to really feel like, make you feel like once you're in, you're not going to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel that way about just going back a step to Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. Once you get inside the area there and you're, oh man, it's hard to just be like, all right, I'm out. Like, I just can't do this anymore.
You know, but you're right. But on a ride like Slinky Dog, I could wait for an hour for that. And if I'm done, I'm like, no, nope, I'm bailing on this.
Yeah.
That's not a problem.
So that's a good one.
I think the queue has a lot to do with that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's a good one. What's your Slinky Dog? Over, under?
45 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably 2 years ago, it would have been more. I would have done 60 or even 75 minutes. But, you know, I just, it's a fine coaster. You know, for whatever reason, I don't know. Like, it's not that it's lost its luster with me, or I've grown tired of it. It's become one of those attractions that I don't feel like I have to do every time I go, which is weird to say because I do love it, but I prefer Toy Story Mania over Slinky Dog.
Sure, yeah, I would say 45 to 50 minutes is kind of my threshold on that one as well.
Which again, that's a hard time to find because it's usually over 60.
Yeah. Yeah.
60 to 75 is kind of that
sweet
range.
Spot for that one. Yeah.
So, well, what about Toy Story Mania? Man, I love that attraction.
Yeah, I have a hard time waiting on that one.
Is it because you suck at the game?
Maybe.
With your 155,000 points.
Yeah, yeah. I just, to me, that's not a very entertaining queue. It is nice as far as being mostly indoors. So I do like that.
Yeah.
So,
and it's interactive. If you don't have a lightning lane, it's, you know, you can talk to Mr. Potato Head.
Yeah. 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 I would say probably 60 minutes is my over under on.
Yeah.
On
I would do between 60 to 75. I'd be okay with that time. Okay.
Let's go back to a show. So let's do Indiana Jones Spectacular. If it's a 45 minute wait, Are you waiting in line for Indiana Jones Spectacular?
We might need to modify this question.
Okay.
Because you hardly ever have to wait.
Right.
But if you want a center seat with the best view, you have to get there early. So, and essentially you are kind of, so this kind of goes to the whole fireworks show. Like, how early do you want to get to that?
Right.
Show
viewing,
to get your seat.
Your viewing
yeah.
point.
So do you want to get to Indiana Jones 45 minutes early to get that center viewing area, or are you okay to sit on the outside? I've done both, and it affects how, what the show looks like.
For sure. I don't think I would wait in the line. So for me, pro tip is, yeah, I mean, I just would not. I love the show. It's a great show, but I would not stand in a queue to wait for that show to start just to have a center seat. So for me, my over under is probably 15 minutes, maybe.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. I probably have seen the show so many times that I'm okay to see it from the side. But again, if this is your first time going and you love Indiana Jones, you've heard so many great things about the stunt show, which it is an amazing stunt show. Yeah, I would say 45 minutes is worth it if you want to get a good seat and see the entire action from the center section. So,
sure.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
You want to do a few rapid fire ones?
Yeah, let's do Star Wars Rise of the Resistance.
Ooh. Again, that one's a very manageable queue for me, so I would probably put my over-under at 60.
Okay. I think 60 minutes. That's a good number, 60 yeah. minutes. So is that 60 minutes to when the show begins, or
I'm walking through the entrance, and yeah, and I am getting to the point where I'm seeing Rey, you know, tell me that I'm part of the resistance now.
Okay. All right. Yeah, 60 minutes is good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Big Thunder. How long? What's your over under on Big Thunder? Rapid fire.
Ooh. 50 minutes.
50.
Wow. Yeah. It's one of my favorite attractions, though.
Yeah,
I don't know why. Yeah, 50. I hate to keep saying 60. 60 is just like this round number. I probably would do 60. I don't know if I would do more than 60.
Yeah, agreed. That's a hot queue in the middle of the day.
It's a very hot queue.
Yeah.
But it's such a fun ride.
Absolutely. Okay, more rapid. Let's go Haunted Mansion.
Ooh, I love this attraction. 75 to 80 minutes.
Really?
I would. Yeah. Oh, if it were cool outside, and because if you're waiting 75 minutes, most of that wait is going to be outside.
Yes.
So if it's cool outside, I'm waiting. I don't have a problem with that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like 45 tops on Haunted Mansion. Sorry.
Okay. No, I respect that.
Yeah.
I mean, again, we're talking about this in a vacuum. So if it's 95 degrees in the middle of the summer, I'm not waiting 75 minutes.
Yeah, for sure.
But nighttime in the wintertime, it's a nice 55 degrees. Yeah, I'd do that.
Okay, a couple more for you. What's your Tower of Terror? That's your baby.
Oh, so. I've waited 90 by choice.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Tower. I would wait 90. I might go 95. No, I can't go 95. I think if I were to see that either on the app or in person, if it were to say 95 or higher, I probably would think about going somewhere else. But if it's the last ride of the night, if the park's closing at 8, and because you can get in line before the park closes and they're going to let you in, do the attraction. If it's saying 90 minutes, I would hop on.
Wow.
Yeah. I'd get out of the park at 9:30.
Let's maybe the virtual queues. So Tron, how long would you wait for Tron if there was not a virtual queue?
Well, this is going to happen during, I believe it's the Halloween parties this year. They are going to open up Tron to a standby. So how long would I wait? I would do 60 minutes.
Yeah, I think that would be my over under as well.
But this is tricky because, and we talked about this earlier, I think that if you've been one of those people that has failed to secure a virtual queue for this attraction and you have not wanted to spend the money for a paid Lightning Lane, which I totally get, what are you, is this a 2 hour wait for you? Is this a 2.5 hour wait for you just to be able to experience this? Because the queue is amazing. It's one of the better queues in all of Magic Kingdom. You know, the ride's only about a minute, but it's a fun ride.
That's my thing, is just for what you get out of it once you actually get on the ride. I think 60 minutes is still my maximum for that. Okay. What about Guardians? I'm going to bow out on Guardians because I would not wait 10 minutes for Guardians because it makes me sick. But again, or at least the time that I rode it, it did.
Let's use the same parameters. If you've not been able to secure a virtual queue and you haven't wanted to pay for it, man, that's a fun ride. I would do 90 to 100 minutes. I would wait for that.
Can you imagine if you're someone like me who gets motion sick on it, you waited 2.5 hours for just Guardians to get sick. Yeah. I think the biggest thing here is, you know, and we kind of talked about this in the pre-show, is like, how much of your day are you willing to sacrifice for this experience, right? Because when you start to do the math, especially, you know, you talk about some of these that are hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 hours, I've seen. Like when these new rides drop and people are waiting 3 and 4 hours, I can't fathom that.
Yeah.
I just cannot, because to me, all I'm thinking about is like, wow, how many other rides and experiences could I be on right now while I'm waiting in line for this, you know, 2.5 minute ride or 3 minute ride, whatever it ends up being.
Yeah. You know, I think it's just a matter of perspective. I think, you know, we live here in Texas, but you know, I think if we lived in Florida, or, you know, for those that are pass holders that can go whenever they want and, oh, a new ride is opening up or this new attraction is opening up, I'm going to head down on a Friday night and that's all I'm going to do. And it may take me 3 hours. That's probably a much easier decision for them as opposed to us, who will be spending thousands and thousands of dollars to fly out there or to drive out there and to get hotel and tickets to, yeah. Would we wait 3 hours? Probably not, but I don't know. I mean, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Any restaurants you'd wait for? So if you walked up to Via Napoli, for example, okay. I know that's a favorite. All right.
Well, here's the deal. If I'm famished, I'm not waiting 5 minutes. If Via Napoli is a 45 minute wait and I'm starving, I will go to the next available.
Okay.
I'll give me a, you know, I'll go over to La Halls there, yeah, at the France Pavilion, yeah, and give me a baguette with some butter.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, let's just say it's, you know, regular point in the day, you're not starving, but you're ready to eat, but you're not famished, and you walk up to Via Napoli, and they say, yeah, we can add you to the wait list. It's a 45 minute wait. Do you hang out?
I would.
Okay.
I'd hang out for 45 minutes.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, not uncommon on a Friday night here in our town, is, you know, you go to your favorite restaurant and there's a line out the door and they tell you it's a 45 minute wait. I don't think that's...
There's something about that wait time when it hits an hour. I think the mentality changes, the mindset changes. 45 minutes for it to wait for a dinner that I'm excited about, I would do that. 60 minutes, I'm thinking about, what are my other options?
Sure.
You know, is the restaurant there at the Mexico Pavilion, is that open? Is that, does that have a good wait time?
Yeah.
I might be checking that. Or like I said, grabbing a snack somewhere.
I think that's the tough thing about Disney as far as waiting on a restaurant is, you're right, you have so many other options that you're just like, I'll just go grab a snack versus a sit down table service meal, right? If the wait is too much, there's just too many other options to be able to choose from.
Okay. Well, here's another scenario for you. So you've done the Keys to the Kingdom tour.
Yes.
Okay. And your thoughts on that are?
Phenomenal.
Okay. So let's say they open that up as a standby. you walk into Magic Kingdom and there's a standby queue for Keys to the Kingdom tour. And all you have to do is get in line.
Wow.
Are you waiting 2 hours?
So the tour itself, God, I can't remember how long it is now.
It's like a 4 hour tour,
it's
right?
It's a significant amount of time. So Man, it's a great tour, though.
It's already part of your admission. There's no additional cost to it. All you have to do is wait in line.
That one might be an hour to a 90 minute. I'm surprised I'm saying that.
Okay.
But it's such a great tour and such a great experience that now it's definitely not something that you would do every trip for sure. But for everything, I mean, like we went backstage behind Splash Mountain. We went down in the Utilidors underneath Magic Kingdom. Our cast member that walked us through as part of the tour, she was like a history buff genius. And so that that really appealed to me because I really geek out on that stuff. And so, for that, if you could promise me that experience every single time, I'd wait an hour and a half for that.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay.
I mean, she talked about meeting Bob Gurr and Sklar. What's
Marty Sklar?
Marty Sklar. I don't know why I couldn't think of his first name. Just really cool stuff she shared with us, and just all the different behind the scenes things we were able to see. That's a great pro tip. If you ever get the chance to do that, and you know you've gone to Disney enough, do the Keys of the Kingdom tour. It's totally worth the expense.
Okay. So a meet and greet with Tony Baxter. How long are you waiting? Man. Tony Baxter.
This is like a magical scenario.
Tony Baxter is one of the best Imagineers. He has done so much for, I mean, he started off as an ice cream vendor.
Yes. Yeah. He's scooping ice cream.
He was scooping ice cream and he worked his way up and he just had he's worked on some of the biggest projects.
Yes.
With Disney.
So are we talking like you get to have dinner with him or just like, hey, he's going to sign my book and I'm going to...
He's going to, you know, this is a meet and greet. Not like your, you know, princess meet and greets where you get a picture and a little chitty chat, but this is, he's going to chat with you. You can ask him a couple questions. This is, let's say 5 to 10 minutes with him. This is also a very unlikely scenario.
Very unlikely, but...
Will never happen, but this is a...
Yeah. And I'd probably wait 90 minutes to 2 hours.
90 minutes to 2, yeah. I think I would too.
Yeah. Just to be able to meet a Disney legend of that caliber would be worth the wait, in my opinion. I mean, if you love that Imagineer or that person, whoever that person is for you, right? I mean, some people will wait 2 hours to meet Mickey Mouse.
Which
I
go for it.
I'm not holding anything against you for doing that. So yeah, to meet Tony Baxter, I'd probably wait 90 minutes to 2 hours.
Okay. I would too. I think any one of those big time Imagineers, I would wait for a while to shake their hand and to ask them a couple questions and to, you know, have a little one-on-one time.
What a great experience that would be.
Oh.
Man,
that would be I mean, again, like they should have a paid experience. Like they have the Keys to the Kingdom tour. Right. Why not have a Keys to the Imagineer tour? Like you get to, you know, pay a certain amount of money and then Tony Baxter is going to take you on a tour, a backstage tour of Disneyland or Disney World or whatever.
Dude,
you know, Joe Rohde's going to take you backstage with Animal Kingdom. Like
that would
you're talking
be,
about an amazing experience.
That would be incredible.
Dude, I'm getting the chills right now.
Yeah.
Hey, Disney, if you're listening, a paid behind-the-scenes tour with an Imagineer, sign me up. I'm doing that.
I mean, I think our Keys to the Kingdom, we probably had 20 people. So if you had 20 people doing that behind-the-scenes tour and you charged X amount of dollars, it's got to be worth it to that Imagineer and to Disney.
Yeah, I would think so.
You know.
Well, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. All right, you got any others?
We could go over all the attractions if we wanted.
Yeah. I don't know if our listeners would enjoy it as much as we would.
No, we could talk about this all day. So, but, you know, hey, it was good to get together. It's been a rough couple days here with this hurricane. So, good to get together to talk a little Disney. Feel bad that Randy wasn't here. We know Randy's busy. You know, if you live here in Houston, turn on the news. You may see his face.
Yeah.
Every now and then. Giving updates. So, But he's very much still with us. He's just, it's busy time of the year for him. So,
other than that, give us a like and a follow on all the social media sites, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear any of your magical scenarios that you want us to read on the podcast and kind of talk about and discuss what we would do or what we would hope for or wish for. So we'd love to hear from you. If you want to interact with us, Instagram is probably the easiest way to do that. So we'd love to hear from you.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Have a great night.